It's an honor to have Joanna Rohožinska with us here today at Podcast.re Studio. Joanna is Regional Director for Europe and Eurasia at IREX, and she's currently in Belgrade as part of her Western Balkans tour. Welcome to the Podcast.re Studio, Joanna.
Thank you for having me. My work and life has been around East and Central Europe for over 20 years, and I landed here kind of on purpose and kind of by accident. Academically, I'm a historian by training of Russian and Eastern European history, so it started there. And what started as what's supposed to be a six-month stipendium to Prague ended up in a lifetime working and living here and abandoning my academic studies. So I've gone through several different organizations, some American, some local, particularly Polish ones. Most of my work has been in the former Soviet Union and Northeastern Europe, but a little bit of Western Balkans at the very beginning, and I'm quite happy to be back in the region. But all of it has been somehow involved in civil society and democracy development, whether it's independent media or civil society support.
Sounds really interesting as we started with. I was checking out IREX's website and couldn't help myself but not seeing that IREX is really working all over the world. And that presence, including Europe and Eurasia, is more than obvious, especially for us here, since we are also part of that support and activities. Could you tell us about some of the organization's current and future plans in this region, particularly in Ukraine, having in mind the ongoing events over there?
The ongoing Russian aggression against Ukraine? Yes. Ukraine is IREX's biggest office in this region, and it's the second largest office globally, outside of Jordan, and obviously Washington, D.C. And I think that the program there, insofar as it's been continuing on since, frankly, since the 80s, right? So IREX was established in 1956 initially, in 1968 as its current entity. So its roots in the former Soviet Union and in the Soviet Union are very long. And so some of their original programming was actually in Ukraine, stretching back from the beginning. And there's been a continuity through that. Program support in Ukraine is on many levels, particularly on youth and community development and engagement. But obviously, since this iteration of the war began, there's been a lot more on emergency relief and on things that IREX does not do traditionally, such as flak jackets and portable schools, right? Mm-hmm. So that's probably going to continue, at least for the near future. But I think that we're looking forward in terms of a reconstruction of a new Ukraine, improved. But certainly there's an endless number of things that are going to happen. But the strength of what Ukraine has endured now, a lot of it has been because of the strength of local governments. And on the decentralization of Ukraine was the single biggest reform that they made prior to this second war. And IREX, I think, always played quite a strong part in strengthening local communities and local governance. And that is going to persist going forward, absolutely. It is kind of the centerpiece for a lot of what happens in our geopolitical region, as you know. So even if you're not directly involved in the war, there's still repercussions of it. And I think that in the Western Balkans, there's a couple of opportunities as well, right? Because it certainly has drawn attention of the EU again on what the accession process is here and given a renewed, impetus in terms of pursuing a Western path for the Western Balkans and increased attention here, including by IREX, I think. So I'm a little bit intentionally vague, but it's definitely a part of the world that we're not going to be leaving anytime soon. And we do think has an important role to play in geopolitical stability.
At one point you mentioned repercussions of the current situation. And the first one that came to my mind is just how hard it is to distinguish fact from fiction now and all the set of disinformation. So my question about that is actually how IREX address that kind of problem, that especially this part of EU neighboring countries is facing during these times.
In terms of a disinformation onslaught? Sure. Well, disinformation doesn't come from thin air, right, on one hand. So there's if there's a lack of clear communication, that's one problem. Broken media systems are another. State primacy and propaganda is another. But it's distinguishing between all of those little factors. So obviously, IREX has had a robust media literacy program, not just in Serbia, but in a number of countries around the world, 20 as far as I know, and through their Learn to Discern program. That's a very long-term approach to mm-hmm. civic education in terms of understanding the media that you're consuming and the context in which you're consuming it. And so I think that that's kind of like a slow burn on that part. I know that outside of IREX, there is a very robust network of fact-checking organizations and organizations that work along those lines, which also play a role. But frankly, I think that a strong independent media that is not only viable, but is reliable and respected is basically one of those things, because they become a beacon for understanding where how to navigate informational gray waters.
I loved this answer. Can we go a bit more in details about this? What can be done to ensure that the level of disinformation is not so problematic here? What else comes to your mind? Simply because really impressed by your approach here in the answer.
I mean, there's if there was a silver bullet, then this would not be an issue anywhere, right? But that's not the case. It's also not something new, and it's also not something that's unique to Serbia or the Western Balkans by any stretch of the imagination, right? So I think that it ends up coming down to either you continue fighting the fight and you kind of trying to, you know, quixotically attack the windmills of distruth. So you can take that approach, but it's not super satisfying. It's not proven to be super effective. Or you can simply continue focusing on what the facts are and what the truth is and just hammering that home as much as possible. And understanding what you can control in this information environment and what you can't, right? And so what you're going to waste your time trying to battle against instead of just kind of focusing on what you can do as an individual, as an entity, as a community, as whatever else, right? But I'm a very big proponent of like starting small and focusing on what you can control rather than dispersing your energies into things that you can't. And it's also important to distinguish, like, what do you mean when you're talking about disinformation, right? Because you can have foreign malign influence, which is influence operations coming from a different state, which is a very different animal, right? Because it goes into information operations, and that's something that you can't control. Government propaganda is another thing, and it's not unique. Every government has its own propaganda, depends on how you want to term it or not. But again, then you have kind of like a ecosystem, a media ecosystem that you have to learn how to navigate as well. And here it's a little bit crowded and it's a little bit complicated, but again, you can waste your time about naming names as to who's what. There's always a debate against whitelists and blacklists, right? So do you blacklist everybody who's doing something bad, or do you focus on the whitelist in terms of taking the higher ground and focusing on what the good thing is and not wasting your time on the rest of the things, which is just going to be chasing after a shadow?
Sure. Over the last 4 years here in Serbia, I'm now like doing zoom in for this part, but it's very much in line with what you said. IREX has done a lot to promote sustainability and growth of Serbia independent media scene. Those instruments of support, and especially this ongoing media.inovacije program, encourages media outlets in Serbia to think and act more like businesses. Do you see more of lessons for us that you are able to share now? Why do you think that it's important to independent media outlets to act like businesses, also in line with all those disinformation issues that we mentioned?
We've been talking about it with my colleagues for the past 2 days. The thing is that, you know, media inherently is a business. It's a commercial entity. And I think it's more the mindset in terms of if you want to maintain your editorial integrity, a lot of it comes from a transparent and clear ownership and financial flows so that you're not beholden to anybody. And ideally, the way to do that is that if you have a diversified business plan and that you can stand firmly on your own 2 feet without having to worry, A, where your next paycheck is coming from, or B, even have the accusation thrown at you that you're pandering to somebody else's personal, political, commercial interests. So I think that, you know, it's a way of making sure that it's a bricks and mortar home rather than something that can kind of like flow and be at the whimsy of whatever the next donor is or whatever the next funding trend is, and at the same time grow and consolidate rather than live on a shoestring from day to day, right? I mean, if you want to have a stable media environment, it's quite crowded from what I understand here, and so there is going to be some attrition because not everybody can survive, but it's to give yourself the best chance possible of survival in the long term, understanding the kind of financial and political realities in which media lives here. So I think that it's a very sensible long-term approach to it, but it also frankly means that you start media in Serbia starts functioning much like it does in the rest of the world, frankly, right? Or at least in the European and Eurasian space.
Yeah, so in a way, there is no independence without financial independence.
Of course not. I mean, even if you think about it on a personal level, right? I mean, if you're living with your parents your entire life, then you don't have the same independence as if you're earning your own paycheck, right? And living on your own.
An interesting comparison, no? Actually, parents and children living there. That is sometimes relation between citizens, government, and media. Granted that you joined IREX in December 2022, but at this point, from your perspective, what makes IREX different from other international development organizations? What are IREX's competitive advantages?
I mean, I think on one thing, it's the August nature of the organization, right? That it has been around for an awfully long time. It's gone through different iterations. It's worked in different countries. It's worked through different U.S. administrations. And I think that it has a lot of collective experience behind it. The degree to which it's utilized, I think, is a different question, but it certainly has that. And I think that compared to a number of other institutions, whether they're American or whether they're European, they do genuinely care. There's much more emphasis made on the partnership with their clients or beneficiaries than I think some other organizations have, right? That they're quite hands-on in terms of working with their partners to a common goal rather than imposing a set of rules or a vision as to how they should operate. And I think that that's a longer-term engagement that you have, an investment in not only the countries in which they work, but the societies in which they hope to somehow support and influence.
Mm-hmm. Now, kind of similar question, comparing Serbia to the rest of the Western Balkans, what you could see as something different. I know this is your first stop here during this visit, but assuming that you have information, when you compare Serbia to the rest of Western Balkans, what would be some messages or takeaways that you're bringing further?
I mean, you know, Serbia has the advantage and the curse of being, you know, primus inter pares, right? I mean, it's the position that it's held historically, but it's also, you know, physically where it is, size-wise and all the right, and the largest, right? So there's a weight to it that's, I think, again, an advantage and a disadvantage. But by the same token, I think that there's also a lot that it can learn from its neighbors, right? In the sense of thinking more modestly also about its position, that it tends to come from a somewhat higher ground, whereas perhaps the reality is a little bit more mixed. So I think that it has more potential simply because of its size and its stature, right? But I think it might be not fully realized. It's in its potential.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. We had Joana Rohožinska today with us at podcast.re studio, and it was a pleasure to hear about IREX plans in your region of Europe and Eurasia.